Hello, everyone. This is Queen's Club. If you're wondering why I'm coming to you from a goofy angle, it is because my Mac broke today. So I have a Mac, and I got up this morning to do some work, and at 6 a.m., that thing was shut down by itself and acting the fool and all the things. So I'm coming to you live from my laptop. In my office. So I may sound a little different. I may look a little different, but we are rocking and rolling. Although I cannot stand looking down on myself. So I am going to move y'all to the top of the tissue. This is better. This way I can at least concentrate. All right. So it is Queen's Club coaching. Here's what we're going to do. As y'all come on in, you just raise your hand and you will get coached. I'm calling on Jessica first. All you have to do is raise y'all's hands, y'all. You don't have to do anything other than that. So if you want the closed captioning, just hit the CC button and we'll get started. Hello, Jessica. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm surprised I was the first person to raise my hand.
Oh, yeah. We only have one other raise their hand. So you queens need to get on top of this. All right. Tell me the things. What are we coaching on today?
So I want to get coached on the, so I've had the dicking around with the last, you know, same 5 pounds for the last couple of months and just trying to figure out what emotion, because I know you said if you're doing that and your basics are at a pretty high percentage, then you're probably at your emotional, I think you said bandwidth or max or something. So just trying to figure out what tap into what emotion that I'm, I guess, either repressing or not addressing. And I like to do that by tapping into my inner child, if that helps. But yeah, that's why I'm here.
Okay, let's figure a couple things out since you're on a, like, let's make sure the stall is emotional. So sometimes okay. It is. So like, I just want to get some like data points from you first. What is the data for your waiting for hunger?
Waiting for hunger is like 71%.
Okay. So when we're not, the 30% of the time that we're not waiting for hunger, why?
It's usually at night. So I wake up and we'll eat, like snack. I've tried like,
and why are we waking up at night and eating a snack?
Well, I think I typically wake up to use the restroom and then I get a snack. I think,
but so why, I get up every night 3 times to pee and I don't snack on the way back. Like, oh my God, I just peed. I deserve a treat.
Like on the surface, when I've done like disco sheets and checked in with my accountability partner, I think it's because I'm trying to look for something to soothe me back to sleep. But I'm wondering, because I don't know, like, I feel like I've heard you say before, like, don't keep writing the same thing on a disco sheet. Like, I feel like I'm writing the same thing on the disco sheet, and I've tried other things like, you know, playing like soothing music.
Why do you need to be soothed? Like, what's missing at night that you're like, oh, I have to be soothed to go back to sleep?
I guess maybe my mind kind of wanders on things that I've kind of like tried to ignore throughout the day. Like,
So when your mind is quiet and there's time, then your brain starts alerting you to the problem. So instead of trying to snack and instead of trying to meditate and stuff, what if we just figure out what is stressing you so much that when you get up at night, your brain's like, you won't listen to me all day. But now that we're quiet, I got to speak right now because you're going to shut me out the rest of the day. Soothe me. That's what your brain's saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Then listen to what's going on in our life.
Mm-hmm.
What is your brain trying to communicate to you in the middle of the night?
I think there's probably thoughts of like loneliness, like worried about, so I'm 30, about to be 38 this summer. And I don't know, I worry about, like, I want to have kids, and I worry about, you know, is it too late? Am I not going to be able to have kids? I worry about, like, having a partner. I'm currently single right now.
So tell me how much time you're spending each day working through these types of worries.
Probably a day. None.
Yeah, every day. Like, how often? Because your body's waking you up every night to say, like, I'm ready for my kumbaya. I've got worries and anxieties. You went to the bathroom, and before you go back to bed, I have something to say.
that's good. So I probably only work through it once a week with my therapist for an hour.
So 1 hour a week we're dedicating to our biggest fears and worries. And we're wondering why every night we're like, I need to be soothed. Good Lord.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know what the next step for your weight loss is? It's not your inner child.
Yeah, it's like working through my emotions around my, like, fears and worries each day.
Mm-hmm. Let's just pretend for a minute that you trade. How long do you think you're up and eating each night? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes?
Maybe like 30 minutes, I would say.
Okay.
Because I do try to fight the urge, and then I give into the urge, and then
You're addressing the wrong problem. I'm fighting the urge. I'm very focused on not eating. What I'm not focused on is what my brain actually cares about.
Right.
Saying what I really want and what I really need from you is help with the fears and worries around children and anxiety. And you're saying, no, here's what we need to do. We need to meditate, and we need to, like, say no to food, and we need to think about why we might be on a weight loss stall. We should think about anything other than the real problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I will promise you that we will know for sure if you're on a weight loss stall, if you will do more work rather than doing disco sheets on overeating, doing discovery worksheets around your fears and worries about being single, 38, and not having children, and bringing comfort. Like, I want you to think about, like you said, I just want to be soothed. Your brain is saying, I'd like to be soothed around these fears I have.
Mm.
You need to help me reconcile. I would start with, just tell me, what is one fear? Because you probably have a lot. So let's just work through one, and then you can do it on the rest of your fears. What is one fear that you have around either being single or childless, or wherever you want to start?
With the childless, I feel like I won't have, like, as I age, I won't have someone to kind of, like, be there to, when I need, I guess, like, care and support. I won't necessarily have that, anybody in my life for that.
Okay. So that's a really good one to start with. So let me just ask you this. Let's pretend you don't ever marry. You decide, you know, it's not for me or whatever, you know, or are you just some, like, it could happen, but I'm no longer pursuing it. And you get to be 90 years old and you've never married.
Mm-hmm.
Would you let yourself get to a point to where it's like, well, here I am at 90, shocked and dismayed. No one can care for me. I didn't prepare for it at all.
No, I mean, I guess I would, like, figure out an alternative, like another plan, you know, like before I get
there. Like, at what age do you think you would start making a plan for, maybe it's time for me to secure my future?
Probably around 60, 65.
Okay. So I want you to, let me ask you this. when you think, instead of I'm going to get older and there's going to be no one to care for me, if we were to start telling yourself, I would never let myself get to a place where there was no care for me.
Mm-hmm.
You believe you would do that?
No, I don't believe I would let myself get to that point. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So how does that feel when you think I'd never let myself get to the point to where there was nothing to care for me, nothing, no plans, no financial, whatever, you know?
Yeah. It feels like I feel more relaxed. Like, I never really thought about that. Like it takes some of the pressure off.
Exactly. That's soothing. That's mm-hmm. what your brain is wanting you to work out on paper. It has mm-hmm. worries. It has probably pain. Like, you know, like I know I've coached people that have a lot of pain around not having children. They can't mm-hmm. have children and stuff. And mm-hmm. we don't want to tell ourselves stuff like, and this is not to pick on y'all, but there's been a couple of people in the chat that have said, well, there's no guarantee. Let me ask you, how do you feel when we say there's no guarantee that if you had kids and got married, that they'd even take care of you? How's that feel?
I just don't believe, like, it doesn't resonate. It's hard for me to fathom.
Yeah. So we can throw that away. So all of you, let me just tell you what I'm doing. Is that we want to make sure that when we are going to soothe ourselves, like we want to pay attention to what she most wanted. She wanted to feel soothed. We don't want to say, well, this other bad thing could happen. Like, does that make everything okay?
Yeah.
So watch when you do that in your own coaching, when you might be sometimes helping yourself with, like, well, I know you feel shit about this, but here's this other shitty thing that could be happening. Feel better. It's like, well, not really. So
yeah,
let's do this. I want you to spend some time. You don't like, I want you to just know that you're already spending 30 minutes of your life a day worrying, anxiety, and trying to figure out this problem, except it's in the middle of the night and it looks more like trying not to eat and then eating. And that's how right now we're trying to solve the problem. So we're already spending time on it. It's just, we're spending time on it in a way that doesn't help you, that doesn't soothe you, that doesn't meet the real needs that you're wanting to meet. And that's why food becomes that option. So mm-hmm. what I would love for you to do now is go each day and decide daily, how much time do I want to spend on my worries and anxieties that keep waking me up at night? And now when I wake up at night, instead of fighting the urge, I want to listen and I want to ask myself, but this is a question I gave all the coaches today. I train them. I do some trainings with my own coaches. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, I know I'm not physically hungry. What am I emotionally hungry for right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because you said I'm emotionally hungry for soothing.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want you to look at your life and think about, all right, where am I emotionally hungry right now? So that I can start feeding and nourishing the emotional hunger instead of just trying not to eat when I'm emotionally hungry.
Okay. I like that. Okay. I can do that.
Do that. And then let's see if you want to come back next month and tell me kind of how it went. Like let us know ahead, like just email support and say, hey, I do want to get coached again on Queen's Club. Can you just give Crins a head up? So I don't, because you know me, I'm going to be like, by next month, yeah. I'm 49. And the brain is going to be like, who wanted what?
Yeah.
500 people since then. So remind us and we can come back. And if you still haven't broke the plateau, then what we can do is we can look at the next area.
Okay.
I bet you if you solve this, two things will happen. One, the weight will shift just a little. And number two, you'll start looking at the other areas and thinking like, is this an emotional thing? Like, what am I missing here?
Like, where's the emotion now to solve, you know?
Okay. I can do that. And I'm looking forward to Drop It Like It's Hot.
Me too. I am so ready for it. So awesome. Well, thank you for getting coached.
Thank you for coaching me. I have to talk to my inner child later, I guess.
Well, like, I tell you what, if at the end of the call, if we have time, we can come back. What is going on with your
inner child? Oh, no, I was just joking. I like the process. Like, I've, you know, seen you do with other people. And I just always wonder, like, is there anything in there with the inner child? There's nothing on my mind that's like, ooh, that's probably my child. Yeah, no.
I can tell you an easy way to do it. It's literally to just sit and, like, you just close your eyes and you spend a minute or two just kind of breathing, and you go to a place where you can visualize a smaller version of you. Like, mm-hmm. I always have my pic. It's easier for me when I have a picture of me. So I kind of,
I put a picture by my bed when you mentioned that. So yeah.
So like the way that I do it when I do it on my own is I just go and I just start talking to her. Like, I'm here. What would you like me to most know? Is there any, like, what's going on in your world right now? And it can even be like, y'all can recount a memory, like, to just kind of get things going. But you're really, it's the way that it works at the core of it is you are sitting there and you're dialoguing with your inner child. So you're looking at her and you're like, I'm here, let's just talk and keep it casual and all that kind of stuff. And then a lot of times the stuff will come up and your job is to be the adult. So only do it when you're ready to be the adult in the room, where you can be like, I hear you. I know how that might be hard to talk about, or, you know, whatever. And then you just, like, sometimes you hug her and you just, it's like, it would be like sitting around and talking to a really dear friend, someone you really care about.
Okay. I'll try.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Maya? I don't know. All right. First of all, I would give anything if why on, I don't know why, but on my laptop, the screens never want to show correctly. I'm going to have to, it always does this. So we'll see what happens. All right, Maya, you'll have to start talking so that Coach Ashley doesn't look like, well, now it's wanting you to be the, let me pin you. I'll spotlight you for everyone. There we go. All right. Tell me the things. What are we coaching on? Bloomberg.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh.
It's okay.
I'm supposed to be coding, but here I am getting coached.
That's all right.
Thank you for selecting me. So I will tell you where I came from. And I kind of, at my third level, I would say, and I hit a wall, and I was really excited to get coached, and I'm really happy you selected me. So I started with talking about the inner child and a really bad place, where when I looked at myself at the age of 5 at the picture, I would say, I hate you, bitch, for being born. And needless to say, right, there was a lot of inner critic, a lot of all that shitty thinking I had to work with. And I was going through divorce. I have a child with special needs. So it was a lot going on. And I ate through that. I had a lot of binge eating. With all the coursework that I've done, I now binge free for almost a year.
Good for you.
Thank you and your bestie. Now, the second level was cashews. I don't know if anybody remember. I had a lot of blue hair.
I remember. Yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
That was super helpful. And I must report, herbed. Cashew, night eating, gone.
Good. Right?
So now to where the problem is.
Okay.
And here we are. when right before I joined, I was a bootstrapper and I lost a lot of pounds. I was at 235. And then as soon as I joined over 2 years ago, I started gaining and I maxed out to 60. And then I went down to 245. I had a nice vacation and then I had really bad couple of months. And now I am hovering little under 250, little over 250 for a long time.
So you're currently at 250 and I'm sorry, they are literally mowing the fucking yard as usual when I do calls. So, and I don't have a way to I can only have so much sound. So I'm going to have to ask you a few things over and over again. Sure. So we're currently at 250.
Yes.
And now what?
So here comes the question, right? I am realizing that I am eating at maintenance, which means that there is something I need to start cleaning up, right? I tackled the obvious things, right? Binging was easy to identify, right? I got that cleaned up. Evenings also was fairly easy to identify. I got them cleaned up. And right now, I feel that I'm honoring my satiation level, right? I'm honoring my body. I'm listening really attentively to when I'm hungry. And I feel like I'm stopping it enough. I'm recognizing all the signals. But obviously, there are overeats, right?
Well, it just means like there's a difference between overeating and eating to maintain your weight. That's not an overeat. That's just not enough to induce weight loss, if that helps clarify that. So you're eating at a level that probably feels really good, feels, especially because you've been a binge eater in the past and stuff. This is, I want to say this to all of you. You're probably eating to a level where you feel very confident and safe. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this, because this is a common phenomenon that happens, and it's a necessary step very often for people who have had eating disorders in the past in order to eventually lose weight. The safety and the confidence around food and the patience, the compassion, the nurturing, all that has to get into place first. Otherwise, you're trying to lose weight, like basically either through restriction, being an asshole to yourself, like you're trying hard. Like when we think about being an asshole, telling yourself you shouldn't be binging or like you can't have this, like when you're doing all of that or you shouldn't eat any more than this, like kind of anxious, like eventually that's why people will say, I don't know why, but it feels so hard for me. It's because we're creating this hard experience over and over again. So what I often see though, is when people finally stabilize, it's like, I've not been binging and I've got my cashews under control and these things are happening. We're eating in a maintenance level because that feels like for the first time, like freedom. It feels for the first time healthy and it feels so good. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. So here's my question. Is when I say, what do you think about for the next 2 weeks, do an experiment where every meal that you think is your current enough, we're now just going to eat 3/4 of that. So I don't want you still pay attention to your hunger, but on the enough side, like, I just want you to dead stop, no matter what, 3/4 of what you've been serving. And then if you're truly hungry, because you're good at knowing probably the hunger,
I can go back and get more.
You can go back, but you got to wait like an hour. Like, we really need your body. Like, I want you to spend that hour comforting yourself, telling yourself, this is safe. This is okay. We're just seeing if we actually can eat a little less to see what happens. What, like when I say all that, what comes up for you?
So I'm going to go on a little tangent because of that, right? I noticed that I was doing exactly that and succeeding and was losing a pound a day when there was a week when my child was on vacation with his father. And it was the first week where his father was finally pulling his weight, being attentive. I wasn't scared that my child wasn't safe, right? I was relaxed. I slept well.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have the urges. I didn't, you know, I was able to.
The stress had come that late. I would just like to highlight the obvious for everyone. When her stress levels came down, so did them urges. This is why I'm such a like hard ass on do your thought work, y'all. Like, if you want easy weight loss, do the thought work, because then you'll feel better and then urges naturally come down. It's so much easier to do thought work than it is to be like, no, I just want to grind, restrict, count some calories, keep my shitty thoughts and fears, but I'm not going to eat over them anymore.
I think so. This is where the crux of the issue is, right? The shitty thoughts for me is very difficult to identify. And I realize that when I'm in that heightened stress level, right? And you coach somebody yesterday on the elders call about, you know, hand on the heart and all that, all those tricks. When I am above, way above my stress level tolerance, then I feel like, you know, when all the TV programming ended and there is a gray screen and the white noise, that's how I feel in my body. I feel like that in my mind. And then I'm just not noticing when it just jumps in.
Right. So not don't yourself. Right. So just so you, just for all of you, don't ever say the food jumps in. Say, I don't notice.
I lean on
it. I am unconsciously reaching for food. Because even when you say it that way, it's like,
give away
the food's the problem.
Responsibility. No, exactly. No. That's, yeah, I got you. Yeah.
So let absolutely. Me ask you, well, so what do you think you need to do?
I need to be able to emotionally regulate myself, help myself to calm down, and relax.
So, and right now, when that's happening, you're doing it with food?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not worry about eating three quarters. If mm-hmm. you think the big problem is the emotional regulation, then we need to work on emotional regulation.
Okay.
How can you, in the moment when your body's like, shh, and going through all of it, how can you emotionally regulate yourself without food? Because here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the food away, which means you have to be willing, you have to consciously do this. You have to say, I am consciously signing up to feel dysregulated.
Mm-hmm.
Until I learn how to calm myself down, that's what we're signing up for. We're signing up for a course on self-regulation. We're not signing up on the course to think better things, so we never have to learn how to self-regulate. And that's for all of you. Most of you need to be doing this work. A lot of you keep being like, I just want to do thought work to feel better so that then I don't have to worry about feeling any feelings, except the world doesn't work that way. The world's going to fire you. The world's going to tell you to work over. The world's going to tell you you suck. The world is going to divorce you. The world's going to not give you a child. Like, there's all kinds of things the world's going to do. So if we don't work on the real problem, especially for you, Maya, which is my honest to God problem, is when I learn how to satisfy my emotional hunger, when I learn how to soothe myself, the weight will be the easiest piece.
Yeah. So two things. I think the binging stopped when I just told myself that I'm going through the worst period of my life and I don't have any other support system. Mm-hmm. And eating was the only thing I could do for myself to stay alive. And
okay. So we gave ourselves that gift.
And it worked. Yes.
But now, do you still, are you the, like, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about this and think carefully before you answer, because you might be stepping into one of my traps. Is the only emotional support system you have now food?
No, I am much better at that.
I want you to say this back to me.
My emotional support right now is me when I decide to be a mother to myself that I've never had. And
I am my mother. I am my emotional support.
I am my emotional support.
Yeah. You already did yourself a solid, which is you said, what's more important right now is me getting through this tough period of my life. Even if it means eating, I am so willing to do that part. But I don't need that anymore. I've learned, I've grown, I've worked. I'm ready for level three.
Yes.
Three now is becoming a badass emotional self-regulator. That's your biggest work. Like, continue to do your plan, because creating a 24-hour plan is part of emotional regulation. If you think about it, when you decide the food ahead of time, you're saying, when you get dysregulated, when the shh happens, the person who cares about you most, the mother of us, she already made a plan today. She thought something like this would happen, and she provided for you so that
honestly,
you can.
You know what happens is I'm standing in front of the refrigerator and I have that plan and I'm just looking at it in a stupor and I'm just not seeing it. And sometimes there are days where I just don't do Facebook, I don't watch TV, but I just blank out and an hour is gone.
Okay.
Or like I'm looking at that sheet of paper and it's not registering. And I don't know
how good the way. Like, well, have you had a relation? Like, you just keep saying, I'm just looking at the sheet of paper. And I'm saying, you're looking at the version of you who loved you so much.
Yeah.
She wanted to make eating decisions easy when you're dysregulated.
It's almost like I cannot even process or register that. That's how it happens.
But I think it's not because you've been talking about that plan that way. You're talking about it as like, this is how most of you talk about the 24-hour plan. I made my plan. I got it on the fridge. Everything's written down.
Yeah.
Y'all talk about it like, you know, this is a sticky note. I'm talking about it like your best friend, like how you would talk about your best friend.
Like care, right? That is a sign of care. Someone took time to take care of me.
Yes. It's the relationship with it.
Yeah.
Like when I want you to write about every day how this is how I become better at emotionally regulating myself. I put in pauses where it was made from the version of me who's become in level three, the person who's mothering me now. Like, I want you to change the relationship with it so that when you look at it, you're not just thinking, that's my plan. And, or you're not looking at it and just like, it's really easy to not notice something that's not meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all of you, I want y'all to hear me when I say this. It's really easy to not notice yourself when you haven't told yourself what you mean to you. When you talk about yourself like a jerk and stuff, it's really easy to gloss you over. It's really easy to ignore you. It's really easy to do that. I'm asking you, I think level three, Maya, now is creating a relationship with herself and all of the tools that she's using. I want you to start framing them as like, these are not how I lose weight. This is how I start learning how to regulate my emotions. This is how I become someone so skilled at being able to feel all of her feelings, knowing what she needs, being willing to give herself her truest desires. I'm becoming that person. And these tools are what are going to get me there.
If I were to ask you in your life, when you were at that level or something similar, can you relate and give me an example? Because those are the most helpful to me whenever you do that.
Like when, like, get, like, what do you mean? Like, how did I talk to myself when I was at 250?
How you emotional regulation exercises and tools, right? How did you embrace them? How did you create that relationship with you?
I cried a lot and still do. For me,
I started crying. I never cried before.
Well, if you ever want to know what it was like for Corinne, I spent most of my day crying yesterday. I had a tough day yesterday. I got coached. I cried so bad in my coaching call that I couldn't even look at my husband when I walked out of the office. Like, I just was like, don't look at me. Like, I'm probably going to cry again if you do. Like, I just was, you know, but a lot of it is like, even when I was losing weight, a lot of it was just sitting there and saying, I'm upset about something. And not trying to change being upset, like actually saying, like, damn it, I'm just going to be upset. I don't like what's happening in my life right now. And I'm willing to cry. I'm just no longer willing to eat over it. And that was, for me, so important, because I really realized at some point that the only way that I was ever going to create a better life was that I really had to experience the life I had and experience through the story I was telling myself. Like when Logan was little, when I first started losing weight, I would sit every night and I would eat the ice cream, not because part of it was I was really tired. Logan had a lot of needs and stuff, but the main reason I was eating was I felt so guilty for not loving him.
Mm-hmm.
I had a mother's love, but I was not in love with him. He was a job at best, and he was a job I wish I could have gotten fired from when he was little. I didn't like it. And I like every night would sit there. And after a while, I was just like, I'm not eating over this anymore. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to cry and figure out why I'm so miserable at night. And I was like feeling guilty for not loving him, feeling guilty for turning it all over to Chris, all of these things. And I, luckily for me, I just talked to Chris about it one day. I just came clean with everything that I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he just told me, he said, I never feel bad. And you shouldn't either. That helped. But even if Chris hadn't said that, even if I had just sat with it, I know I would have worked through it, because I would have told myself, like, I was coming to the conclusion, I think, as I was losing weight, that I was just having a lot of normal thoughts that I judged myself for. Mm. That's always been the hardest part of, I've never felt normal.
Mm-hmm.
Always felt like something's been broken with me from the get. You know, for a while I was broken because of my weight. And then I was like broken because I wasn't a good mother. I wasn't in love with Chris. Like, you know, just I'm broken because I have loose skin. Like the story of my life is Corinne's broken because like, mm-hmm. That's the title of my book. And then as you go through my life, even to this day, we all have default stories that we tell ourselves that.
And then did you bring a little like red hotness and talk to the old sheety? Remember yesterday?
Yes.
Corinne, you're not broken.
Yes. But this is what happens for all of you, because it's really, we always think we're going to cure the theme of our life. We think we're going to cure the story, and you may or may not, but from what I have learned through my own experience, plus research, just research, and why does this happen? Usually we don't. What we do is we just take our story and we solve one aspect of it. And then it just manifests. It's like, well, I need to tell the story. So now what are you broken about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it just like, it's not, we need that to go away. What we need is to be just aware that it's probably going to reappear. And we want to get so good at noticing when it is, so that we can feel it, examine it, question it,
mm-hmm.
and then move on from it. So I like for you, let's figure out like how we are going to become Maya, who is like, I am an emotional regulator. I am working on level 3 now. I am going to continue to do my plan, and I'm going to continue to pay attention to my signals. And if my brain's offline, like for you, let me ask you this. When you are, think about the last time you went offline. Do you remember the last time? Is it in the last few days? A good one? Yeah. All right, good. Recent is better than anything else because we almost always can tap in. So for all of you, like a lot of times when I ask, you're like, yeah, it was like the other day. And y'all say it like it's a bad thing. And I will tell you, recent history is always easier to solve than trying to remember something that only happens every 3 to 4 weeks. Like if you did it yesterday, perfect opportunity to figure out what the hell's going on because it's fresh. So when was it?
A couple of days ago.
Okay. So 2 days ago, describe to me what happened in the moment.
As I said, it felt like I fell into a hole and just
do this. This is not inner child work. We're just going to go to inner 2 day work. Are you okay with doing that? Just kind of where we close
Absolutely.
Our eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
So close your eyes. And anybody that's had an overeat or anything, if you want to close your eyes and kind of do this with us, feel free as long as you're not driving. Don't do it if you're driving. All right. I just want you to take a couple of deep breaths. And then I just want you to get really comfortable. Yeah. And then I just, in your mind, I want you to go back to a couple of days and tell me what room you're in.
Kitchen.
Where this happened. So we're standing in the kitchen and where were we at in the kitchen?
In front of the refrigerator.
Okay. Describe to me what the refrigerator looks like.
Same steel. I have little magnets for my kid because that's how I the menu for him and how he decides what he eats. I have my menu on the left, my plan on the left-hand side. I have pictures of myself and my kiddo there.
Okay. Yeah, you that's like, my- that's nice. And then did you open the fridge or were you standing and just staring at it when you feel like you went offline? Was the door open or was the door closed?
Closed.
Okay, good. All right. So I just want you to take a deep breath and continue to imagine you're standing there. What are you feeling in your body? Not the emotion, the actual physical sensations.
Numb.
Okay. Where's the numbness at in your body?
Everywhere.
Okay. And how does the numbness feel?
Cold? No. Motionless. I don't want to say constricting, but just stuck. I think it's a sense of stuckness.
Where's the stuckness located in your body?
Those are always hard for me. I feel paralyzed. Like my entire body is like a mummy wrapped up.
Okay. And so let's imagine your body like that's such a good visual. So I want you to see yourself standing there. And I want you to see your body wrapped like a mummy. Are there any other physical sensations happening? Like, how does the mummy wrapping, how does it feel against your skin?
Restrictive.
Like how?
Like I want to break free and I can't.
Okay. All right. So that's a little different than what we talked about, numb. It sounds like we're kind of noticing the more that we stand there, that it's not so much we feel numb, we feel restricted. We feel we want to move and we can't.
Right.
Okay. Like, is there anything, like, is there certain body parts where you feel it more than the others? Like you desperately want to move this body part and it won't move, or?
No, like my entire being, I feel like I want to break free, but I can't. And I think numbness, what I meant is that powerlessness, that I don't feel the strength, like in my muscle and in my will, like anywhere.
Okay. So thinking about like what I want you to do right now is I want you to talk to the mummy. So you're Maya, you're coming in as Maya today, and you're standing next to Maya, who's wrapped like a mummy in front of the fridge. What would you like to say to her?
Lie down, take a nap.
Lay down and take a nap. Why?
You're tired. You're exhausted.
What is Mummy Maya saying or doing?
You're stuck.
Why don't you ask her, what can I do to help you in these moments when you're tired and you feel stuck and you probably need a nap and you just feel like you can't? What can I do to help you in those moments?
I want somebody else to do that.
To do what? To do that. What is
to help
that?
Her. She's saying that she's been the one helping everybody, and she's the one problem solving, and she's the one, and she doesn't want to be the one helping herself. She just wants somebody else to do it for her.
Oh.
She gave everything she had away.
She gave everything what?
Everything she had away. She left nothing for herself. No energy, no compassion, no strength to help herself.
What do you want to tell her, knowing that she feels like she's given everything away? There's nothing left for her. She doesn't want to care for herself. What do you want to tell her?
I'm very conflicted right now.
The what?
I'm conflicted right now because her is me, I'm her.
No, and I want you to say that this is really important to this. You're not her. You're talking to the version of you that feels constricted and like a mummy. There's also the version of you that's talking to her.
We can learn to store things up. We can learn to leave some for you, so that you have something to give to yourself.
What does she say? What's mummy say?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay. That's definitely different than what we were feeling. Cautiously optimistic is a big step.
That sounded believable.
How do you feel about that? Like you, knowing that the most constricted, stuck, sometimes paralyzed, numb version of you is now like, maybe.
I feel relieved. I feel like I'm seeing like a little pathway opening up, because it was pretty unclear as to what my steps for level three were gonna be. And I think right now I'm seeing that light a little bit, so we can start figuring out. That was a really good exercise. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So what do you think now, now that we've kind of done this part, what do you think about what we can do to help you in those moments when the mummy feeling comes over? Because the here's the good news. You now know physically how it feels. It's not numb. It feels restricted and stuck. It's like,
paralyzed,
I know, I'm going to be staring. I'm going to almost feel cold.
Yeah.
And now you have a visual.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments, what do you think now you could do to just lower the temperature, to get to cautiously optimistic, to just loosen the bandages a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I can say I can offer myself to go lie down. I have like my favorite fuzzy blanket. I realize that I'm very sensitive to touch. So I surround myself with textile that is very comforting. So I can, I guess, and find a safety blanket, maybe.
What do you
I've never had one.
Hmm? What do you want to remind the mummy version of you? Like, once your nervous system kind of comes in, like, what would you love to remind her of that would help her feel? It sounds like she doesn't want to feel alone. It sounds like she wants to feel like someone cares.
Yeah.
And someone does.
Yeah. I'll journal on it. Well, I will.
Do you know how I know you care?
Huh?
You know how I know you care? Do you, well, first of all, do you think you care about her?
Oh, God. I think we started the session with, you know, where I'm coming from, which I really didn't care. And I didn't want to care. And I often wanted to be over my life, to be over.
But so that was very hard. Like, Maya version almost three. Does she care?
Beginning to, yeah.
That's all we need. Yeah. So like the answer is no longer no one cares. And the answer is no longer like, well, we'll see if I care. The answer is like, no, I actually do care. I'm just learning how to do it.
Love that. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to each day, I just want you to write a couple of sentences about, here's how I know when I'm getting dysregulated. And you can, and like, literally it can be like anything else you start noticing. Cause once you've done this once, you start kind of noticing other things like, oh, this is also a signal. And this is also a signal. We just want to get to know when you're getting out of the window as often as possible. And then I want to remind myself, I care.
Yeah.
Somebody does care about you. It's me. And hint, hint, you are the most important and only person that we need in order for you to have a great life. Because if you don't care about you, it won't matter how many other people do.
Very true.
So we solve you caring for you. Anything else just becomes extra.
Yeah, but that's the hardest equation at this moment to solve. But I know that I'm on my way.
Yeah. And I would just like write every day a couple sentences too about how I know I do care about myself. Because if you watch this over again, I want you to just, until you told me you didn't care about yourself, there was nothing that you said that indicated that there was a problem with you caring about you. because you were just like, and I've been working on this, and this is the next thing I evolved into, and blah, like everything. I think you're wrong about not caring for you. I think you have mislabeled how care should be. Mm-hmm. I think you thought that maybe like eating and stuff has not been a version of it. It has been. But the good news is you definitely know how to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have done, there is no way that you go a year binge free, get on coaching calls with me, continue to work on yourself, do inner child work. Like there's no way any of that happens without there being somewhere a subconscious thought that says I'm worth it. I just don't know I am yet. I'm not used to thinking that way, but somewhere deep down, I know my worth. I know I care about myself, or I wouldn't show up for me, because you don't have to do that.
So here's the thing, right? I almost ended my life when my kid was little. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that there was nobody for him if I'm not there. And he started telling me that. So whatever work I'm doing, initially I started doing it for him. The whole the self-love and all of that, right? I started doing it for him. And only recently I am recognizing that I do care. And you know, the whole labeling, and when I kept telling myself the same thing, that I'm shit and I'm not worth it, I'm better off dead, it sounded like truth, capital T, right? So rewriting that script, and I just kept on, when I didn't want to go on, I would say, you have to stick it through for Isaac. You need to care for yourself and you need to model for him. And that was like the only reason I was doing what I was doing. And at this point, I am there, I'm seeing the light. And I really love what you were saying about journaling or writing a few sentences, how I do care and looking for that. I wrote into Ask Coaches, and that was something I was working through. Advice I got was to journal and just to write, I feel safe, because I was very frightened and very triggered. I'm from Ukraine, so duh. And it really helped me in a very, very short period of time. And I believe that what you just gave me is definitely going to work, because I witnessed that and I lived through it. So thank you. And if there is anything else you can think of, I would really appreciate it.
I think you have plenty.
Okay.
I master this part. Mm-hmm. Master caring for yourself, regulating yourself, writing those sentences down each day. I will give you one more sentence that I think could be helpful, which is, if you already know how to care for someone else and you already know how to put their needs and everything above your own, that means you already have the skill and the talent to do it for yourself. You don't have to learn anything new. You just have to apply what you're already good at to you. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. This was great. As I always like to say, you know, sometimes I feel like I should smoke a cigarette after a call. I thoroughly enjoyed coaching you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Absolutely. Let's smoke together.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to figure out how to. It'll take me a second to. There we go. I have to get my buttons back in order. All right. Let's do. Lord, we're out of time already. If we can do. If somebody feels like they're not a quickie, put your hand down. If you feel like, if you are still we can do it in 5 minutes or less, Corinne, keep your hands up. All right, Linda P, it looks like it's you. The inner work always takes a hot minute. There's like, honestly, y'all, there's just no rushing the inner work. So, and y'all know I'm not a rusher anyway by nature. I hustle through everything in life except for obviously coaching. I'm all leisurely when it comes to coaching. All right, Linda, what are we going to work on?
Wow, I got the trifecta today. I just wanted to thank you. You coached me. on the elder call, I think it was the end of May, and I got the workbook and I've really been working it, and so much has come up. And it was funny because one of the things that came up was, okay, I've identified these feelings. Now what do I do with them? And you totally addressed that today. So I just want to thank you and just tell you how much I appreciate you. I was so bummed that I had to leave early on the call on Sunday. So I'm going to go back and re-listen to it because we're slow at work. So I totally have you on at work, but you were just coaching the person who had had a regain. And I was like, I hear you, sister. I hear you, sister. And I wanted to, because everything that you say just layers on and it's just so great. And I was like, oh, that's something. That's something. So me and old shitty just really want to thank you for everything that you do. I'm starting to save my pennies for next year for camp. So I just, hats off to the queen. I just, you know, thank awesome. You so much for all you do. And I just, you know what, and one thing I really, real quick. So being on your site, I get a lot of emails like, oh, try our program and, you know, lose weight without dieting and identify the need. So I took advantage of listening to a couple calls, free calls. You are by far and away the best thing ever. So once again, hats off to you. I wish I was there so I could hug you, but you're just an amazing, amazing person. And you are my goal. Like, I want to be like Corinne when I grow up.
Well, I appreciate all that. Did you want some help or you'll be calling someone else or?
No, God, I just, when you said real quick, I just really wanted to thank you. I'm still working through some things. I got some other news this week about a family member that I'm working through, and I talked to my other brothers and we got it, you know, just having someone to talk to that understands the situation. Cause when, like you said, when you look at it from the outside, someone may say, oh, well, why are they worried about that? Or, but it's very real to me and this is my reality. So just having all those tools and resources and being blessed with a lovely family, it's just great. And having the support and being able to go back and listen and take you on walks and take you to Starbucks in the morning with me.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I'll grab one more person, but just
okay.
Keep doing what you're doing. Sounds like you're doing great.
And thank you. And you keep doing what you're doing.
I will. But I do want to say one important thing that you did say that's good for everyone to hear is never diminish your problems. If it feels real to you, it's a real problem. Do exactly. not see problems as if they're not worthy, they're not good enough. I shouldn't even be worried about this. Look, none of that's helpful ever. So good for you.
Yeah. And you taught me that because I said too, like part of it was, you know, my parents, my dad during COVID and not being able to be there. And I said, well, I'm not the only person who ever had a parent that died or whatever, but you know, it was very real to me. So I appreciate you clarifying that for me.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You. Kylie.
All right. Hello. Can you hear me?
And what are we going to coach on?
Awesome. All right. So I'm very nervous and kind of feel a little silly at this point getting coached on this. But I am pregnant and I'm happy to be pregnant. I'm 31 weeks along. But it's also hard because it's hard for me to control the thoughts of like, I've fallen off of the wagon during this pregnancy.
What was supposed to be, this is awesome. What was supposed to be happening during this pregnancy that has not? I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I was supposed to gain between 25 and 35 pounds and I've now gained like 32 pounds and I still have 8 weeks to go. And it's, I think what's really difficult for me right now is I had done so much work around like the number on the scale and not allowing that to like, you know, dictate how I talked to myself. And through the process of being pregnant, obviously, like, I'm now back at the weight that I started my no BS journey on the first time.
The first time you were doing no BS, were you carrying a baby in your belly at that weight, or are you just overweight?
No, it's just overweight.
So that's a thought error.
Yeah.
You're not at the same weight. The number may be the same, but you're carrying another whole human plus everything that requires to carry the human, which is this your first child?
No, this is my second. So, okay.
So you know that when that baby comes out, not only are you going to drop his weight or her weight, plus you're going to drop fuck tons of fluid. It's not like, I want you to just see the first thought area that you're allowing yourself to believe, which is, I weigh the same as when I was just eating my face off.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. I think just what's like hard for me to process is like, last time I was overweight when I got pregnant. And then like, it just feels like I have undone all of my progress. Like it feels like the new identity that I created is gone.
Only because the identity's not gone. You're not thinking mm-hmm. like her. That's the only thing that's different. It's not like it just went away. Like we got a bleach eraser and just like scrubbed your mind. Now you got to like go find brand new thoughts to think.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So how did you undo your progress? Tell me, other than the weight, how is mm-hmm. all of the progress undone?
Well, I mean, during the first trimester, I wasn't feeling very great. So what I was eating was unplanned.
No, I need to know what's going on in the last, you get to give me 3 weeks of history at best. Does not matter.
No, I mean, I could even tell you like the past 3 days, like there would be, like a tried halftime method worked out awesome. I felt great. Then the next day I tried halftime method again and like with full permission to continue to eat if I wanted to type of things like that. But I don't want to say I messed it up because I just timed it wrong. Right. Like I know it's an experiment. I know it's process of learning and things like that, but clearly my blood sugar did not like that very much. And I started to feel really nauseous.
So I've heard I need to know that, like, you need to tell me how you've undone the progress.
Like, yeah. And I would say that like
not making it mean about me and then doing it again and having a blood sugar issue is not a like, Corinne, I'm just going to tell you, I felt like hell yesterday because my husband yelled at me and you know, I'm pregnant. So I of course ate Doritos.
Yeah. Well, and then I was going to say, and then like, you know, day three of the cycle that I feel like just keeps happening over and over is that I'm like, see, I can't plan. And then I don't plan. And then I am like,
keep planning. You just might not necessarily follow it because you don't know what your blood sugar is going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I don't know. I guess it's just like, I feel like I was doing so well with planning. I was doing so well with like practicing waiting for hunger and things like that. And like things just have kind of spiraled. And I guess like, the reality is I just need to get back to planning, even though I'm not planning for weight loss. Like I can still make a plan strictly to like do what I say I'm going to do, if that makes sense.
Well, oh, you mean make the doable plan exactly as I've always taught it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for you to prove to me how you are nothing like the person you used to be and undone all of your progress, because all you've done is teach me exactly what you know to do. I don't even, I'm waiting for the answer.
I guess I just have really like really struggled with like beating myself up with thoughts of like, you know, like, that this is just going to mess me up and I'm never going to be able to get where like I was within 5 pounds of maintenance. And
but you got like I'm just going to, can I just, not coach you on this and just break it off in your ass for a second?
Okay.
All right. Stop being a bitch to yourself because you got pregnant. You're treating yourself like trash because you were almost at maintenance and I got pregnant and I'm having a baby. And now I've had an identity crisis. And now I'm undone all my progress. You're just being an asshole to yourself. Like, this is just, you do not have a progress problem. You have a self-loathing problem. Like, when you're like, all the progress has been undone. Like, you, let me tell you, 3 days ago, I did the halftime method. I can't plan. Like, you're just being a jerk to yourself. That's the only problem we're having right now.
Yeah.
Why are you insisting on being an asshole to yourself? Why are you not deciding how you're going to talk to yourself? Like, rather than making another 24-hour plan, you know what I'd like for you to do?
What?
Do not make a 24-hour plan. Throw it away for the next 9 weeks. You're not allowed to plan your food, especially when you're telling me, like, I don't know what my blood sugar is doing. Like, it's really hard for me to plan because I'm like, all right, let's stop planning. Let's make a plan every day of how we're going to fucking talk to ourselves today about food, about our body, about our weight. Why don't we make that plan? Because I think you do better if you just stuck to that versus trying, like, if you're, all you're going to do is start making a plan every day because you actually can, and you're going to like do the halftime method while doing it on the premise that something's gone wrong because you gained weight while pregnant, you're not going to win. You're just not. I mean, that is a formula that will blow up every single time.
Yeah. So what do I do if I don't plan?
You tell me. If you don't plan your food, how are you going to eat each day?
Well, I would like to still have the habits of not eating for comfort. So
how will you know when you need comfort instead of food?
I mean, I feel like I've been pretty good with journaling and things like that in the morning, but like in the moment, a lot of times when I'm eating, it's like, I'm bored or I don't want to do the next task on the to-do list. So it's not really like.
So that's really easy. When you're looking at the next task, you know, your trigger, ooh, I'm going to want to eat. I'm not going to want to do this.
Right.
So when you eat, here's a question. When you eat, do you end up doing the task or do you eat to not do the task?
I usually like eat to do the task.
That's perfect. That's what I hope you were going to say. Either answer is great. I have a solution for both because I have been both. This is why this one's an easy solve. Then what you do is you tell yourself, not going to eat. I'm going to spend 10 minutes dicking around doing fucking nothing until I feel like doing the task. I'm not allowed to think about the task. I'm not allowed to think I don't want to do the task because here's what I do know. When I eat, I always end up doing it. So I'm just going to give myself what I want, which is buffer time before I have to suck it up and get it done. So I'm going to literally give myself buffer time. But I'm not going to eat to do it. Right now, you're just delaying starting with some food so that you're not, all the food does for all of you is it stops you from doing this. Like if I go get a snack before I do something, let's say I'm sitting here and look at my computer and I have a task to do and I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do that. This sucks. Probably going to take forever. Why do I even got to do it? Like, I don't even understand. So I'm just like bemoaning, right? I'm like, I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm going to go eat something. Like, I worked out today. I'm pregnant. This makes sense. So we go eat so that we're not sitting there going, fuck me. Why do I have to do this? Why? That's all we're doing is we're turning off those thoughts. So if you go eat, those thoughts get turned off. And in the period of when you're eating, your brain's not thinking about the task. So when it's time to do the task, you're not having to climb the mountain of dread anymore. You took the dread away by eating. The problem is you also gained a pound in the process.
Right.
So let's just take the dread away.
Yeah.
In a new way.
Yeah. No, that's like everything you said about that is exactly right. Because that's what it's always like. And it happens on day. Like, that's why when you say like, don't make a plan for the next 9 weeks, I'm like, that scares me, because it's like on moments that I don't have a plan, but I'm like, I don't want to do this task at work. So I'm going to go get a snack because I'm pregnant. It's like,
what's amazing. Okay. One side of you is like, well, I don't want to do plans because I'm not following them. And I'm like, you know, my father, you know, it's really hard for me to follow them right now. And then when I take the plan away, you're like, that scares me. Like, then what am I doing? Like, you're just like, I feel hopeless making them, or I feel scared not to. Do you know what we call this? A no-win.
Yeah. And I really, like, I guess part of me thought that, like, whenever you were going to tell me, like, you're going to, like, I was like, I'm going to get on here and she's going to tell me, like, well, why aren't you making plans? And I was going to be like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I know why like you're that, not, but. Because you keep saying, I can't follow them because I'm pregnant. And I'm like, so what? Just make the plan anyway. And if your body is like overriding you, all of you hear me when I say this. At any time, if you have a 24-hour plan and your body is overriding the plan, please follow your body, not your piece of paper.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if your shitty attitude about your tasks is overriding the plan, we don't listen to that part. We're just like, we don't have a snack planned, and we didn't plan a snack because we know we're not physically hungry during these times.
Right.
We're often emotionally starved. Like right. In the moment, what are you most hungry for emotionally when you're looking at something and you dread it? So what is the opposite?
Sorry, I was thinking of one like big thing. And then I think you were talking about a small thing.
Just tell me what comes into your mind.
So I would say like the number one thing of like, just concern of the unknown, right? Like I have a daughter, she's perfect. We tried so long to have her. This baby, we didn't really plan. And everything points to them being perfect so far, but I do hold like so many anxious thoughts of like, are we doing something wrong by having another baby? Is this going to be okay? Is this going to disrupt her life? Like, am I going to be able to do this again? So
let's do this. So your brain is emotionally hungry for probably reassurance.
Yeah.
It's probably emotionally hungry for certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking for you to give it some. And if you don't plan, then you get to feel reassured that that doesn't work. If you don't plan, you get to have assurance that you're putting this off. Or I'm assured that I'm broken.
Right.
To yourself in the backward ass way. So take your questions one at a time. What was the first one? Is the
is my whole family going to be okay?
I want you to answer that logically right now. Just take a big, deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Not the terrified. I want you to like, we're going to keep the terror and the fear and everything. You're going to get to keep all of it.
Yeah.
I just want you, like, if you were just talking to, if your best friend was coming to you with all of this,
yeah,
and she says, I'm just so scared that my family can't handle this.
Yeah.
What would you tell her?
I would tell her like everyone handles one day at a time, right? You can only put one leg into each pair of pants one at a time. Like you can't worry about that now. And I think I would all
outcome.
Right. And that's what, you know, it's kind of funny that this is coming up because like I have been so Like if you went through my journal, it would be like pages and pages of like how we're not going to do this to ourselves this time around. Because my mom has passed away, and she had two pregnancies that were like late term, that didn't like stillbirths. And I was so worried with my daughter that something like that was going to happen. And this time, what I have tried so hard to be conscious about is like being worried about that doesn't prevent that from happening.
Yeah, no.
The only thing that it does is like steal away the joy of what this moment could be. And I've tried, like, you would see that in my journal no less than 200 times. Like, and I've said it to other people and things like that. So
it sounds like it's not sticking.
Yeah.
You know, another way to think about the worry, for sure, it doesn't solve anything.
Right.
Let's put it this way. I do think worry solves one thing. Sometimes we just need permission to worry. But what we're doing is we're worrying unconsciously all the time. We're letting it kind of run on. We're not worrying on paper. These are my fears. For you especially, you need the normalized step. Be very normal for you to have this fear, knowing that your mother had two stillborn births.
Mm-hmm.
Would be very normal for your brain to want to chew on that, to want to think about that.
Yeah.
Even if it's not saying, because of my mother, it will be like, what if this happens? And what if this happens?
Right.
I would every day just spend a few minutes writing down your what if scenarios. And then next to your what if scenarios, write about, here's what I want to remind myself. My family will adapt to the new, let's just pretend for a second. You get this new baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's hell on earth.
Yeah.
Around the clock. You know how they always say baby number two is the devil. You know?
Right.
Let's just pretend you've got the devil.
Right.
Are you going to give it away?
No.
I will just tell myself, I am sure we will adapt.
Right.
I'm not giving my child away because they spend the first 6 weeks crying all night. None of that's happening. If my daughter is jealous as fuck and has problems there, I'm going to teach my kids how to get along. In 10 years, they gonna play. I want you to for all of you, I think sometimes when y'all are doing thought work around, especially when you're really worried about things, y'all try to have such lovely, flowery, rosy thought. And I'm like, just tell yourself, the bottom line is this. We might have a baby that's not near as, I love how you're my daughter's perfect.
I know.
Not perfect. What I would do, I'd be like, here's why she is not perfect. Here were all the things that threw me for a loop when she was born. Here's all the things that will happen. Just so your brain is not here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to have baby number two. And we've put baby number one on such a pedestal. The baby number two didn't have a shot in hell.
Right. Well, and you know, and I mean, I'm literally my accountability group would be who are you calling perfect? You were just talking about how she literally, hindsight's 2020 for sure.
But I think doing that on paper will really help you. And I think that's what, so here's the bottom line. Here's what I want for you. I'm just going to wrap it all up in a bow.
Yeah.
You get to keep doing your plan.
Okay.
And here's why. I would rather you do a plan and work on why it's worth doing a plan, even if you're breaking it, than to sit around and being terrified of not having one. That's not going to be a better choice for you.
Right.
It brought you peace so that you're no, I think I could dial in and eat healthier. And if you had told me that, I'd be great. We're not even going to make a plan. We're going to really dial into your body and stuff, but you're not telling me that. You're saying I think I would actually do better working through my emotions, working through my needs. If I have a plan that's showing me exactly when I'm stepping out of that energy. So right. I'm gonna let you keep your plan, but I don't want just a 24-hour plan. I want a plan for how I'm gonna talk to myself each day around my fears.
Okay.
And that needs to be a really key part. And that's gonna start with, if this happens, this is what I'm worrying about right now. What if this? What if this? And then you come back and you answer, and here's what we do know right now. I would never give the baby away for not being as good as baby number one. Here's what I know. In 10 years, I'm sure my kids will get along just fine.
Right.
Like, I want you to like reason with your brain and give it a reason to calm down. I think you'll see a lot of things lighten up for you just doing that. The last thing is, you are not allowed. There is no way in fucking hell that you are undoing your progress. There's nothing about this coaching call. Anyone who's scared to death not to make a plan is not undoing progress at all. And you're having a baby. So your emotions are everywhere and your hormones are everywhere. The more that while you work in this pregnancy, you may have more overeats and stuff now, but if you keep the actual foundational habit of, I just want to know why I'm eating, I just want to know these things, then you have that going into postpartum. The only way for you to undo the progress is to really just give up on all of it and like turn a deaf ear to everything. That is the only one. Yeah. And I know you had a weight range, but I am just here to tell you. So my friend Autumn, who's had like, I feel like 5,000 kids, my friend Jody, who I think he's got four, every one of them, like they went into their pregnancies with a goal. And they ate great. And one of them gained 70 every fucking pregnancy, no matter what she did. Bodies just do what they're going to do. And the last 9 weeks, you're going to gain so much water weight.
Like, it's already happening.
Tell yourself, it's just going to be a lot of water weight. The only, like, I just want you to be comforted in, like, I am an expert and I am hearing nothing from you that makes me worry that you are literally undoing progress, that you are somehow setting yourself up for failure. I just don't think you're doing that.
Yeah. I really appreciate everything you said. And I don't know how to like convey it correctly in the moment, but I know that, like what you're saying is what I started this process of wanting to feel. And it just would feel like it almost got emotionally hijacked by it not going the way that I thought it was going to go. The whole idea was like, obviously, you know, you're going to gain weight in pregnancy and like, that's not mind breaking or things like that. But, I really wanted to take this time to just notice the thoughts that come up, because I do have a history of binging and things like that. And so, you know, this is just that time to focus on the thoughts that do come up. So continuing to plan, I feel like, is a good idea for me, because it just allows me to hear those thoughts and to go with that.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Let us know when this baby comes, and then check in 6 weeks and let us know, did you have a devil or not?
First
one was the devil. Like, little Logan is so sweet now, but my God, he's only for a reason. His first like 18 months, he never slept through the night. I was like, we're not doing this again.
Yes. Yeah. And this one is a mystery. We don't know what it's going to be. We didn't find out this time. So.
It's fun.
So we'll find out.
You have to let us all know. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Let me unpin her so that. Hang on. It takes me a second to get it all remove the spotlight. Now I can change roller routine. Okay. All right, everyone. this was a good day at Queens. Y'all showed up. We got some good coaching done. Please go to the Facebook group, not the Queen. Well, tell the Queens Club too, but tell the main group. I think a lot of people in the main group could really benefit from today's call. So if you don't mind, if you got some kind of a nugget out of this, please go and let them know to make sure they listen to this call and why it was impactful to you, because we want to make sure that everybody is hearing what they need to hear inside the membership. All right. See you next month, y'all. Bye.